It's now 2 o'clock, and this is Captain Rick reporting. I'll be reading from the January 26th edition, Wednesday, of the Decatur Herald and Review. Sorry, not 16th. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. The first article is entitled, High Asphalt Prices Begin to Level Off. Contractors Hope Volatile Market is Behind Them, by Tom Lisi, Decatur. After a year of price volatility for one of the most important materials used in road work, asphalt, contractors and local agencies are cautiously optimistic for stability in 2019. We could be looking at relatively stable prices this year, whereas 2018 we saw our costs increase quite a bit, said David Trault, president and CEO of Dunn Company, a paving contractor based in Decatur. From January 2018 to this month, the price per ton of liquid asphalt, the black glue agent that gets mixed with rocks and sand to make hot mix asphalt, went up $352.50 to $498.50. The good news for local agencies like the city's Public Works Department and the Macon County Highway Department is that while raw materials like liquid asphalt went up in price, their share of overall costs of a road paving project is relatively small. After all, liquid asphalt makes up only about 5% of the final hot mix product that crews use for paving. As far as big pay items from contractors, in general, most of them have been fairly steady for the past few years, said Griffin Inyart, assistant city engineer. But city-led road projects will likely be fewer this year after the city council in October agreed to use $600,000 in state motor fuel tax money to pay for design plans of the Brush College Road Overpass project. City officials hope construction begins for the $40 million project, covered mostly by federal and grants in 2021. That must have meant to read federal and state grants in 2021. I believe the word state was left out. In 2018, the city devoted $1.6 million to road repairs funded by its share of state motor fuel tax, or the money that Illinois collects for charging 18 cents per gallon at the pump. By contrast, this year's Decatur city budget calls for spending $350,000 of the state gas tax proceeds on road repairs. More state dollars will be set aside for bridge improvements in 2019, with $2 million dedicated to upgrading bridges on Eastbound Road. But Decatur also has its own motor fuel tax, 5 cents per gallon, that has been funding road projects since 2016. Last year, the council approved $750,000 of that money for road improvements to make way for the new Love's Travel Stop and Country Store on Illinois 121. This year, all $1.5 million of the city's budget revenue from the tax could go to neighborhood road improvements, but a final list of projects has yet to be made, Inyart said. Meanwhile, county officials have budgeted $5.1 million for road work for what Macon County engineer Bruce Bird describes as maintenance work for a declining system of roads and bridges. It's not a whole lot of fun trying to manage decline, Bird said, but it's what we have to deal with. In the last 15 years or so, county officials have cut back on asphalt paving projects to every 3 or 4 years, Bird said. This year, the highway department will stick once again to cheaper and less durable coat and seal work, which spreads a thin layer of damaged roads, to improve conditions for a few years. The cheaper road sealing allows crews to hit more miles of road with fewer dollars, Bird said, but they don't fix roads like asphalt does. It seals it up and provides better riding quality but it doesn't provide additional strength, Byrd said. Commodity prices related to road construction may not be top on the minds of public officials. Contractors like Trault, whose company bids on government contracts for paving work, have to keep a close eye on the market for cement, steel, fuel, and liquid asphalt, an especially hard commodity to predict into the future, he said. Liquid asphalt is a byproduct of refining crude oil, he said, the black sticky glue that allows the road and the rock and sand to congeal into a pavement mix for road is separated out in the oil refinery process that leads to fuels like gasoline. It's no surprise petroleum-based material got more expensive in a year when a barrel of oil grew in price from $63 in January to $70, only to topple down to less than $50 since December. But asphalt is also a competing product for fuel, Troilt said. When oil prices go up, refineries can run the asphalt through a special process to extract more fuel, a more expensive process, but a more valuable commodity with a higher priced market that simply selling off the byproduct as liquid asphalt. They call it cracking the asphalt, Trout said. And because liquid asphalt goes into another refining process of its own, the influence of oil prices lag behind gasoline by a few months. To add insult to injury, an April explosion and fire at the Husky Oil Refinery in Superior, Wisconsin, caused a major source of liquid asphalt in the Midwest to shut down suddenly. Entire neighborhoods nearby had to be evacuated for several hours, and 11 workers were hurt in the incident. That had a marked impact on asphalt prices in the Midwest, Trout said. Months later, the refinery is not yet open, but supply chains in the market have had time to stabilize. Another contributor to the higher prices, the Dunn Company chief said, was a humming economy with more private companies spending money on projects that increased demand on construction materials like asphalt. But those in the paving and asphalt industry are hoping the surprises for 2018 are in the rearview mirror. In terms of cost volatility, there doesn't look to be any known factor right now that would cause a lot of movement for this year, Trout said. The next article is about the environment. Recycling campus moves ahead. Macon County Board to review proposal, vote set for February 14th by Ryan Boyles. Decatur. Macon County Board members are set to decide next month whether to build a $7.5 million campus with drive-through recycling, county environmental offices, a compost center, solar farm, and community gardens on the city's west side. Plans for the 109-acre campus in the 1100 block of North Wichels Road are scheduled for a February 14th vote, with several board committees set to consider that proposal before it goes before the full board. The timeline was provided Tuesday during a special board meeting to review the proposal in detail and hear from residents who either support or oppose the project. Macon County Environmental Management Director Lori Ramos said members of her department believe the campus can be self-sustaining within 6 years. She described number of benefits of the project, noting that a permanent recycling site would allow the county to shift away from recycling events, such as paint collection days. Instead, residents and businesses would be able to take advantage of regular hours to drop off recyclables, such as electronics and bulk items like couches and other furniture. We wish to make recycling services more accessible to residents by having a permanent site with regular hours, Rasmus said. Details of the project were first announced last year, with the previously Democratic majority board voting last October to rezone the site to allow its construction. However, the board never voted on the plan itself, and its future has become uncertain since Republicans took a 12 to 9 advantage on the board after the November election. County officials initially said the project would cost $4.5 million to build, with philanthropist Howard Buffett providing $1.2 million to buy the land. Rasmus previously said the increase in the estimate was driven by several factors, including the steps needed to comply with various regulatory requirements. Republican County Board Chairman Kevin Greenfield and others have expressed concerns about whether the county should move forward with a new recycling campus as it faces a roughly $800,000 budget shortfall in the coming year. Board members did not give much indication during the meeting which way they were leaning on the project, though many of the questions focused on the site's financials. Rasmus acknowledged that the campus would not initially be profitable, as it would take time to develop the compost site and raise awareness of the services offered. She said it would become self-sustaining in the first 6 years through a nominal recycling fees for certain items and the sale of composting materials to residents and businesses. The site would increase the department's personnel expense from $112,587 annually. Oh, by that much, rather. Some of the cost would be offset with the department's $280,000 in reserve. Construction of the campus would be covered through a 20-year bond issue by the Decatur Public Building Commission, which manages county facilities. That loan will be paid off using an existing tax levy with no increase to existing tax rates, she said. The county recently finished making payments on the bond for its courthouse complex and office building. Officials have said paying off that debt would result in a property tax bill savings of $12 per year for the owner of a $75,000 home. If another bond is not issued to pay for the recycling facility, that savings would be $18 per year for the owner of a $75,000 home. Dozens of residents showed up to Tuesday's meeting, with the majority speaking during public comments in support of the proposal. I am very excited at the idea of Macon County doing something that's so forward-looking, said resident Elizabeth Jeffrey. You hear so many people so many negative things about the area, but this is an exciting time for us to go ahead and to get ahead. Other supporters say the campus could be a tool to help retain young professionals in the area. They argued that such a project would only become more expensive as time passes. Rasmus said the next step is for the county to approve a resolution that would allow the Decatur Public Building Commission to issue the bond. It is set to go before the county's Environmental Education, Health, and Welfare Committee on Tuesday, January 24th, before a formal vote at the full board's February meeting. If approved, Rasmus says, the campus could begin operating as early as the end of this year. Yes or no? I'd like to see it come up for a vote, she said. By the numbers, 109 acres of proposed Macon County Sustainability Campus, which would house recycling, composting, and other operations on North Weichels Road. $1.2 million, donation in dollars by Howard G. Buffett Foundation to buy land. $4.5 million, original estimate to build project in dollars. $7.5 million, estimate today in dollars. 20 years of bond issued for construction. Threat leads to girl's arrest. Police, post on social media directed at MacArthur by Valerie Wells and Tony Reed. Decatur. A juvenile girl was arrested Tuesday on a preliminary charge of disorderly conduct after a social media post threatening the safety of students and teachers at Decatur's MacArthur High School. Detective Sergeant David Pruitt, with the Juvenile Division of Decatur Police, confirmed the arrest late Tuesday morning and said he understood the girl was a student at the school. Pruitt said he had been notified of the threat early Tuesday before 8 a.m., and he alerted patrol officers who responded to the school and made sure the place was safe. I also contacted the school liaison officer, who has since made the arrest, Pruitt said. Pruitt said the threat had initially been made on Snapchat and then went to Facebook, Pruitt said. We checked out the school and have also been involved with the parents of the juvenile and made sure there is no threat at the end of things as well. Asked to describe the nature of the threat, Pruitt said it was vague and made to the school in general. Basically, what it boils down to is sometimes young people get onto social media and want to vent their frustrations with the school and end up saying something they should not say, Pruitt added. Decatur School District spokeswoman Marie Robertson confirmed that police had checked out the threat and said it had been determined that the threat was not credible. She also made the point that some teens don't realize the ramifications of social media posts. And she said the school staff appreciated the parents who expressed concern. The school and district administrators were aware of the threat, and the Decatur Police Department investigated, Robertson said. All students and staff are safe and the school is in session. We do have to take every threat seriously. The next article is about something we all care about, the weather. It's entitled, Get Ready for Round 2. Freezing rain, more snow predicted this weekend, by Jaylen Cook, Decatur. The National Weather Service in Lincoln said that it's still too early to know how much more snow the storm expected to hit central Illinois this weekend will bring. But one thing is certain, residents need to get ready. People have already had practice, said meteorologist Chuck Schaefer, referring to the snowstorm that dropped almost double-digit accumulations onto Macon County on Friday and Saturday. They should take those precautions again and do the same things to get ready. Having just dug out from last weekend, Schaefer said residents can expect this new storm system will bring stronger winds along with heavy snow and potential for a mixture of freezing rain and ice. It is expected to begin on Friday night and will last all day Saturday. After the system passes, Schaefer said residents should brace themselves for bitter cold and wind chills as low as 15 to 20 degrees below zero. The Weather Service said reports from last weekend's winter storm measured between 9 and 9.5 inches of snow to most of Macon County. Jacksonville was the hardest hit by the storm, recording a total of 16 inches of snow. Schaefer said that before the next storm rolls into the area, motorists should expect slick morning commutes on Wednesday and Thursday. A stronger system will bring 1/10 of an inch of freezing rain and probably 1/2 inch of snow from into Thursday morning. Freezing rain and fog caused multiple crashes and slide-offs in central Illinois on Tuesday morning. Sergeant Lou Holland of the Macon County Sheriff's Office said many sheriff's deputies responded to crashes throughout the county. Illinois State Police said a crash involving two semi-trucks on Illinois 55 shut down a 4-mile stretch of road on a northbound lane between Lincoln and Atlanta. The road was closed for several hours. In DeWitt County, a garbage truck was reported to be involved in a crash and was turned on its side on Revere Road near Clinton. There were no immediate reports of injuries. Schaefer said Thursday afternoon's high of 36 degrees could melt much of the leftover snow from the previous winter storm, but he advised keeping an eye on the forecast as the Weather Service continues to learn more about the developing storm system. Stars Over Athens canceled after 57 years. Organizers: Event Too Large for Volunteers to Handle, by Danette Beckett. Decatur: Organizers of the Stars Over Athens Festival and Bake Sale said the popularity of the annual Greek Orthodox Church event outweighed the number of volunteers, leading to its cancellation this year. The issue is the amount of people to serve, said co-chair Amy Chiligiris. 400 in a night is difficult to serve. This year would have marked 58 years the church has hosted the event, which included a full Greek dinner, music, and dancing. Chiligiris said the church may host a future Greek event. If an opportunity to contribute to community events comes up, we'll do so, she said. It will be on a smaller scale, probably no dancing or a show. In the past, the Stars Over Athens Festival included two dinner time options during the middle of Bright Week, the 7 days following Easter Sunday to the following Saturday. The festival had traditional Greek foods and entertainment. Dinner options included pistachio, baklava, and a sampler platter of Greek foods. Early in the day, members of the church sold Greek food during their lunch and bake sale. Preparation for the festival and bake sale started early in the year. Bakers and chefs began baking and planning the menu during the winter. With the amount of preparation, the church feels that they are not able to go forward with the event. But we want to express our thanks and support from the community, Chiligiris said. For possible future festivals, organizers of the Stars Over Athens Festival have been studying events presented by other Greek Orthodox churches in their hemisphere, which includes Chicago and areas of Illinois. We are looking at what others do to bring the culture to the community, Chiligiris said. Since Greek people like to make sure everybody is happy and fed. Woman Punched During Home Invasion, by Jalen Cook. Decatur: Police said a pregnant woman was punched in the nose after two women forced themselves into her East Side home. A signed Decatur police affidavit said officers were called to the home on Monday. The homeowner told police that her teenage niece had been staying with her for about a month, and on that evening, her niece's mother and aunt knocked on the back door. The homeowner opened the door, and the women pushed their way into the house and started to yell at her, the affidavit said. She told police that the mother struck her in the face even after telling her she was pregnant. The homeowner's nose was scratched and bloodied after being hit, the affidavit said. The homeowner and her niece told police that the aunt also pushed the niece into a washing machine during the incident and later fled the scene on foot. The mother and aunt faced preliminary home invasion charges, and the aunt also faces a preliminary domestic battery charge. Preliminary charges are subject to review by the Macon County State's Attorney's Office. They were released from the Macon County Jail on Tuesday after posting $7,500 bond each. Worker Admits She Passed Fake $100 Bills, by Tony Reed. Decatur: A Decatur woman who helped pass two fake $100 bills at the restaurant where she worked now faces two preliminary charges of forgery, police said. A sworn Decatur police affidavit said the 40-year-old woman was employed at the Hickory River Smokehouse, 2330 South Mount Zion Road, and on two occasions in October, she exchanged bogus bills for cash. Detective Barry Hitchens, writing in the affidavit, said that in one instance, the woman slipped the bill to a male customer who appeared to be buying two small items and was given change when he presented the $100 bill that had been passed to him. On the second occasion, Hitchens said the woman had a fake $100 bill lying ready next to her cash register and, after she had opened the register to make change for a customer, she retrieved some real cash bills from the drawer and used the $100 bill to replace them. The woman was arrested Monday afternoon and remained in the Macon County Jail on Tuesday night in lieu of posting $15,000 bond. Her preliminary charges are subject to review by the state's attorney's office. A manager for Hickory River Smokehouse did not wish to comment about this case at this time, but Hitchens said in the affidavit that the manager of the restaurant had checked surveillance video, which helped reveal what the worker had been doing. Hitchens said the woman admitted to what she had done and said she had been paid $50 and $25 for taking part in the forgeries. Police: three arrested after methamphetamine sale, by Jalen Cook. Decatur: three people face drug-related charges after their involvement in a methamphetamine sale on Friday, police said. According to a signed Decatur police affidavit, detectives with the department's street crimes unit observed what appeared to be a drug transaction on a parking lot in the 900 block of West Harrison Avenue. The two vehicles involved were stopped by police, and the driver of one of them, a 48-year-old man, exited his vehicle and smashed a glass pipe on the pavement, the affidavit said. The man and the two women in the other vehicle were later handcuffed, the affidavit said. Canine Officer Masco was deployed to do a free air sniff on both vehicles and alerted detectives to the presence of drugs, the affidavit said. During a search of the vehicle in which the women had been, a plastic baggie with 1.3 grams of suspected meth was found inside. The vehicle's 45-year-old owner told police that she and her 42-year-old passenger came to the parking lot to buy drugs from the man. Detectives later found 18.9 grams, about two-thirds of an ounce, of a substance on the man that field tested positive for meth, the affidavit said. The man was arrested on a preliminary charge of manufacture or delivery of 15 to 100 grams of meth, while Macon County jail records show both women faced preliminary charges of meth possession. Preliminary charges are subject to review by the Macon County State's Attorney's Office. Both women were released from custody after posting bond, but the man remained in the Macon County Jail on Monday on $100,000 bond. Police seek help in finding missing girl, Decatur. Police are seeking the public's help to locate a 15-year-old girl with diabetes who has been missing since January 2nd. Sergeant David Pruitt in a news release said, Alicinia M. Scott is a runaway from Webster Cantrell Hall, a Decatur organization that provides counseling and residential services for children and families. Alicinia is a diabetic, Pruitt said, and it might be possible that she is not getting the proper medical treatment for her diabetes. Pruitt said police believe that Alicinia may be in the Springfield area with an unknown adult male. She is described as having black hair and brown eyes. Anyone who has seen Alicinia or has information about her whereabouts is encouraged to call Decatur Police at 217-424-9600. 2711. And that's the end of part one. This has been Captain Rick reporting. I'll be back with part two after the break.